Welcome to the PreparedX Podcast, your complete source for crisis, emergency, business continuity, and security preparedness interviews, news, and much more. Now, your host, he creates chaos for a living, Rob Burton.
Welcome to episode 54 of the PreparedX Podcast. Just before I get started with the interview today, I want to let you know that this episode is brought to you by Group Duelists. Group Duelists centralizes team coordination during incidents, harmonizing procedures across your organization. Check out the application at groupduelists.com. So in this podcast, which is now episode 54, I interview Emil De Carvalho, who is an executive director of SRM. We've had the CEO of SRM on before, and we're glad to have Emil on for this interview. I recently met Emil in New York City through a former colleague, a military colleague of mine. Emil has a vast amount of experience within the Latin American market. I think in this interview, when he gets started, he talks about having 20 years experience as it relates to risk and security. He's a native Brazilian, and obviously has spent a lot of time in the crisis management field as well as the security field within the region. So we get talking about security and risk in the Latin American market. We also talk about some specific situations and scenarios and risks as it relates to Brazil. So I think you'll find this one very interesting. Here's my interview with Emil. Good morning, Emil. How are you doing today?
Great, Rob. How are you? And thanks for having me.
I'm great, thanks. If you could, just before we get into the podcast today, if you could just introduce yourself to our listeners and just talk for a few minutes about your career to date, please.
Sure. So I've worked in the kind of broad risk management international security field for just over 20 years now. I'm currently executive director with SRM. We're a global risk consultancy, and we help clients understand regulatory, reputational, and operational risks through three main practice areas. We have a crisis management division, a corporate intelligence division, and a cyber security division. I'm currently based at our office in New York City, and previously I spent just under 5 years with SRM running our Latin America business based out of our regional office in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. Prior to SRM, I was head of international security for Vale, the large mining company. I was based in Brazil, but essentially spent most of the time on a plane responsible for operations in about 42 countries. And then before that, I worked in the risk consulting and emergency assistance sectors, first for International SOS based out of France, the UK and the US, and then subsequently with control risks in Latin America.
That's great. Vast amount of experience. So we're looking forward to getting into some of these questions here and listening to your take on all things risk and security preparedness. So let's start off then for our listeners at looking at kind of a wider general overview look at the various challenges that organizations face within the wider Latin America market. Could you just comment on that and just talk for a few minutes about what those types of risks are?
Sure. Well, I think that there are a number of different challenges, but I'll go through a few here. I think the first one, which is very much at the top of everybody's minds at the moment, what with the Lava Jato or car wash, multiple other scandals throughout the region, is corruption, both petty and on a grander scale. So if you look at Transparency International's Corruption Perception Index, Brazil is 96 out of 180 countries. The higher the number, the worse the perception of corruption. Mexico is 135 out of 180 countries. So those are the two kind of powerhouses in the Latin America region, not scoring too well. If you look at South America, the best place in the region is Uruguay, which is a very small economy, and French Guiana, which is actually part of France. So corruption is an issue. I would have a separate category as well for kind of red tape, bureaucracy, complex tax regimes, complicated labor laws that makes setting up a business in most but not all countries in the region quite complicated. It can be very difficult to get established, to get the relevant licenses, to open a bank account, and it can also be difficult to run a business with changing rules or opaque regulations. The third point, I think, is poor infrastructure. Again, this depends a lot on the country and also different regions within some of the countries. But I think issues such as physical infrastructure, like roads, railways, airports, ports, that might not be at the levels companies operating in Western Europe or North America might be used to. And also in terms of internet connectivity and telecoms, again, varies a lot throughout the region. It's a very large region, but that can be a factor that might limit growth.
Sure.
Yeah. I think the final one...
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah, keep going. Sorry.
Yeah, I think the final one is really crime, which is a big concern throughout the region. There was a recent survey by a Mexican NGO on some of the most violent cities in the world, and of 50 on the list, 42 were in Latin America. So that clearly is an issue, both to Latin Americans, but also investors in the region.
Yeah, I saw a recent article as well about the most dangerous cities for females to visit, traveling, you know, alone, either for business or, you know, just for tourism. And there was a lot on the list from the Latin American market. So that goes with what you just mentioned there with the other reports. So let's talk specifically about your native Brazil then, and some more of the, you know, more of the common threats. You've probably touched on a number of them there. But, you know, in terms of businesses, what should they be preparing for? You know, are we talking about cyber? Obviously, have the physical threats as well. But, you know, some of the more common ones as it relates to Brazil.
Yeah, so I think, as I mentioned, that survey earlier, so of the 50 most violent cities, 42 in Latin America and 17 were in Brazil in that survey. So clearly, criminal activities are a major concern, and they're also a major burden on the country and the economy. The costs related to crime and violence in Brazil are estimated around 4.5% of Brazil's GDP, which is a crazy amount. And that includes, you know, public and private security costs, medical costs, and also loss of production due to people being victimized. I suppose in terms of the common threats to businesses, they vary a bit according to the business sector and where the company operates. But some of the more common ones are actually general street crime and general employee safety is a concern in most cities, mainly due to the use of firearms by criminals for even petty street crimes. Another issue that we see quite a bit in Brazil are issues of internal fraud and malfeasance.
Yep.
So it could be anything from procurement fraud to issues related to large construction contracts. It could be people violating non-compete clauses and competing against their own company. So that's something that comes up a lot. Corruption, as I said earlier, both petty and also on a grander scale, particularly for companies who are working with the public sector. They need to be very aware of that and have very robust measures in place so that they don't get caught up in that. Cargo theft is a big concern. Extortion is still an issue for companies. And finally, one thing that people still have in their minds is kidnap. Actually, kidnap for ransom is much less of a concern than it was in the early 90s, say. But issues like virtual kidnappings and express kidnappings are still a worry in Brazil, and it's still something that businesses are concerned about.
Sure. Yeah, we've certainly here at PreparedX touched on a number of those scenarios with various clients of ours within Brazil over the last number of years. And the last one you mentioned there with the KNR piece came up as well. But I think they certainly have flipped things around in terms of that, you know, being a top priority. It's falling down the list slowly. Let's get a little more specific then. Have you got any examples of how some of these threats and these issues have actually impacted organizations within Brazil? And are there any incidents that specifically stand out to you?
Yeah, I think I think cargo theft is quite emblematic of the situation. So we had over 26,000 reported cargo thefts and robberies last year. Most of those in Brazil were concentrated in between Rio and São Paulo state. You have some quite well organized, violent, and well armed gangs that operate in this sector, and this has actually kind of led to a form of arms race where corporational authorities are trying to play catch up with the criminals. And I think in addition to the kind of mental and physical trauma suffered by drivers and others victimized by these crimes, the issue is also related to what I mentioned earlier with regards to substantial amounts of money that the Brazilian economy spends on security. So it's very common, for instance, for trucks to have multiple different tracking devices, to have armed escorts following them on the highways. We've seen over the past few years some cash and transit companies also operate large armored trucks carry not cash or bullion, but cargoes of pharmaceuticals or electronics that in other countries would just go in a normal truck.
Sure.
And actually, I saw a recent report in one of the Rio papers that indicated a large tobacco company, a cigarette manufacturer, suffered on average 3 robbery attempts to their delivery vehicles per day in Brazil, which is you can imagine the impact on the day-to-day business of that happening.
Right. And so some of these threats then, would they be the same for international organizations as they would be for, a Brazilian business? And, how would they differ between the two?
Yeah, I don't think in general, the nationality of the business comes into play.
Okay.
I think if there's an expectation of gains and a good probability of success, then criminals will target organizations irrespective of their origins. What I would say, though, is that companies who send expatriates to Brazil should obviously exercise duty of care and consider if any additional support should be provided to those who have been transferred to Brazil. And typical services we see include, helping executive families selecting homes from a security perspective.
Sure.
Providing security awareness training, providing defensive and evasive driver training. Some companies might provide armored vehicles and drivers and whatnot. So I think that would be the where things would differ is when you have employees from outside the Brazilian environment who haven't grown up there.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. And so in terms of those organizations that are exposed to some of those threats that you mentioned, some of those various scenarios. What risks are prominent to their operations within Brazil?
Yeah, I think.
What could they, in terms of what they can do, right, to understand from a risk standpoint, to at least start to do some planning, I guess, around what their exposures might be.
Sure. Yeah, well, I think the first thing is really understanding the exposure to their operations, to their assets, and to their people. So typically that would start off with a security risk assessment, where you're looking at the different threats in that operating environment and the vulnerabilities to the company's actual operations. And I think where many organizations perhaps fall short is that you really need to understand the local operating environment.
Sure.
It's very useful to understand the country level environment, the state level environment, the city level environment. But in many Brazilian cities, things can change from neighborhood to neighborhood or block to block. So that kind of micro level assessment at the kind of city block level is also very important from a crime prevention perspective.
Yeah, I guess it would be imperative then to, you know, utilize the resources that you've got locally, especially as it relates to, you know, security.
Yeah, absolutely. I think understanding those ground truths of the locations where you'll be operating in, or even the locations where you'll have your product being driven through or people being transferred through is key.
Sure. Okay, so we understand the threats then. We've gone through our paces in terms of running that risk assessment. You know, once we identify those threats, so what should we then do at that point in terms of preparedness for our businesses and, you know, our obviously our other assets, our people, and anything else that we want to protect?
Okay, yeah. I suppose it obviously depends a bit on what was identified during the risk assessment process, but clearly plugging any vulnerabilities that were identified so that the residual security risks are at an acceptable level for the organization and for its people. And that, as I said, it could mean a number of different measures, from training for employees, security support during ground movement, regular assessments of the local operating environment, because clearly the initial risk assessment is but a snapshot in time, and the environment can be quite dynamic. From a fraud prevention perspective, doing your due diligence before you enter into partnership, or before you engage with vendors, or before you hire senior executives, I think is key to kind of mitigate some of that risk of malfeasance. And it could be simple things like increased security measures at the offices or the company's facilities, depending on each situation. The other thing I would add, Rob, is obviously in case everything goes wrong, having a crisis management framework in place for the local operation, but that also ties in nicely with that at the headquarters in case of multinational companies, you know, with your clear plans, procedures, teams with defined roles and responsibilities,
sure,
regular reviews and training sessions is key, whether you operate in Brazil or anywhere else.
Yeah, sure. And that's, you know, that's certainly a big part of, you know, the bigger picture in terms of how they would coordinate any response to those, you know, those various scenarios that you've been talking about, or anything else for that matter, and how they would communicate back through, you know, through the chain of command if it ever went wrong. So great points there. So wrapping this up then, if an organization or, you know, any business is looking to enter into the Brazilian market, maybe they're already there, but they're looking for more resources as it relates to risk and security and really trying to keep on top of it. There's so much information out there, Emil, in terms of, you know, trying to figure out what's going on the ground. Can you talk just for a few minutes about, you know, where our listeners and anyone else that listens to us on a one-off basis or, you know, on a regular basis that is looking for information? It may be relevant to Brazil or the wider market. You know, where can they get a hold of some, you know, some good resources in terms of intelligence?
Well, I'll give you a few different ones. I think the first one I would mention is that we at SRM have a global security insight portal that there's a free version where you can get very good baseline information on countries and locations around the world. The website for that is gsi.s-rminform.com. And you can sign up there for a free version and get information on Brazil and other countries. I think the having some kind of monitoring of the local press, both national and local, is very important. There's a very vibrant press sector in Brazil. Unfortunately, it's all in Portuguese. But if you have local employees who can read and monitor that for you, that's always a good port of call. The State Department, the Foreign and Commonwealth Office, and other Ministries of Foreign Affairs websites are useful. Obviously, despite some limitations sometimes of being an official official site, but I think it's always worth looking at those. And for those companies that are U.S. based. The RSOs, the regional security officers at the different U.S. diplomatic missions in Brazil are typically very, very helpful and a great source of information for U.S. Corporations. I would also recommend U.S.-based companies looking at OSAC,
sure.
The Overseas Security Advisory Council. There are a couple of very active chapters in Brazil. And you could plug in directly with security professionals who are working locally, and they're always very willing to help. And I think really tying into that is really getting those ground truths that I mentioned earlier, speaking to locals, be they your own employees or contacts on the ground, to get the flavor to the. As to the location you'll be operating in.
Fantastic. Well, that was a really informative episode today. Thank you for your time. I know you're very busy on the road a lot, so we appreciate you taking the time out today. Do you have any final comments for our listeners? And if they want to touch base with you and reach out to you, how can they contact you?
Yeah, probably the easiest way to get in touch is if you go to our website, s-rminform.com, and click on contact. Our New York office details are there, and you can reach me either via email or over the phone. Happy to speak to anyone if there are any questions regarding Brazil or Latin America in general.
Okay, fantastic. Again, appreciate your time today, Emil, and we'll be in touch again soon. Safe travels and chat soon.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Yep. Take care. That wraps up episode 54 of our podcast series. Please rate us on iTunes. That really helps. Or any of the other outlets that you're listening to this podcast on. If you're listening to this via our website, if you just scroll to the bottom once this has finished, write a comment. We'd love to hear your feedback. Thanks for listening to us again. Until next time, have a safe and productive day.